Hello, John from the Lib Dem podcast here. We are delighted to say that this episode is sponsored by Prater Rains. Now more than ever, you need a professional looking online presence and website. Prater Rains have been helping Liberal Democrat campaigns succeed for 18 years. Their Lib Dem Foci package combines a website, social media and email system to help Lib Dems win. You'll receive great support from real people, fair pricing and a huge range of features to choose from. Prater Rains are already the bespoke developers for Lighthouse, Lib Dem Draw Online and the LD Directory. They combine a talented system design with an unrivalled understanding of our party, our data and our systems. To find out more, check out the Prater Rains website at praterains.co.uk/liberal-democrats. Now, on with the podcast.
Is this a coordinated approach to the Lib Dem pod where you've actually got everything nailed down with what you're going to say?
Practiced and everything.
Yeah. They've left me out.
We haven't had time to practice.
They're going to have the slickest answers, Joe, and they're going to go, okay, Joe, what do you think? And you're going to go, Hello and welcome to the Lib Dem podcast. My name is John Potter and today we're talking about all things Welsh politics and we have an absolute star lineup, a trio of brilliant Welsh voices for us to discuss everything going forward within Welsh politics and Lib Dems in particular. So I'll introduce you to our panel. I mean, first up is the new chief exec of the Welsh Lib Dems, who's Claire Halliwell. Welcome to the podcast, Claire.
Thank you very much, John. Good to be with you today.
And so you are now the chief exec. How long have you been in post?
I've been in post just under 3 weeks. Steep learning curve, but a brilliant team to be involved with. And it comes after 12 years of working one way or another for the party and being involved since I was 16. So really excited to be here now in Wales and hopefully turn a bit more of the map gold.
Brilliant, absolutely. And then we've also got Joe Watkins. Hi, Joe. Introduce yourself to the pod.
Hello, I'm Joe Watkins. I'm currently a county councillor in Monmouthshire and I lead the Lib Dem group on Monmouthshire Council. I'm also the prospective Senedd candidate for Monmouthshire and first on the list for South Wales East Region for the Senedd election next May.
Brilliant. Very good. You've got a busy few months ahead of you. And then, and finally, we have Chloe Hutchinson. Welcome to the podcast, Chloe.
Hi. Thanks for inviting me.
And you are the prospective candidate for, I'm going to get it for the Swansea area. Is that correct? Swansea West.
So I'm the candidate for Swansea West. And I'm also the lead candidate on the South Wales West list that we held from 1999 till 2016. So hopefully running a good campaign to win that back, hopefully.
And I suppose the place we should start actually is where the Lib Dems currently are in Wales, because I don't think I'm being too pessimistic to say we're at a pretty low ebb in Wales. I mean, I think this is only, I think since 1859 we've had an MP up until 2017, and you know, we had a little bit obviously 2019 was with Jane Dodds lost her seat, Ceredigion we went backwards, so I suppose I'll start with you, Claire, is where do we go from here?
Well, indeed. I think the main thing that was mentioned to me when I took on this role was the word challenge. And actually, something I'm really encouraged by is that the Welsh Lib Dems have actually been with open arms and have said, come on, let's learn. Let's see how we can make those important gains next May for our all important Senedd elections. There are 60 seats up for election and there's a real chance of, you know, gains there, not only getting Kirsty across the line, but actually really importantly, making sure that a bit more, you know, she's part of a team. It really can't be that she's there on her own again, whilst doing an absolute brilliant job. And, you know, I do think that the party actually doesn't talk about Kirsty's achievements enough. Actually, we've got a real opportunity to make gains. And equally, we've had to, as the saying goes, well, wake up and smell the coffee. Only 2 weeks ago, we had a poll come out where we here in Wales were put at 2% if there was a general election and 3% in the Senedd elections. Again, that would take Kirsty over the line, but it wouldn't mean that she has any colleagues. So I don't think we reject that we're not in the place we are, but actually we've suddenly increased our staffing levels. We're up to 7 members of staff, which is absolutely fantastic for the party. And it's, you know, we're slow, as I say, I'm only here 3 weeks so far, but we're already making an impact, ensuring that teams know what is required of them and how we are here to help them as a staffing team as well. And I think that's really important that everybody knows who we are and that actually we're here to help.
And Joe, I always take polls with a pinch of salt, because if I think where I am in the northwest of England, if you generally took a poll, you'd assume there would be no Lib Dem councillor elected ever. And you're on the ground, like I say, as a county councillor. What does it feel like to you being a Lib Dem in Wales at the moment?
Well, I have to be honest, I joined the party in 2015. So I joined after our disastrous general election in 2015. And I joined to fight back because I really believe in a liberal voice for Wales. And I really felt that it was so important. And I became a county councillor in 2017 in a ward which had never been liberal before, never elected a Liberal Democrat at all. And so I do understand that we have got a long way to go, but I also did it myself. I won a ward that wasn't winnable. People didn't think to stand in it. And we've got to have that attitude going forwards. That's where we've got to as Liberal Democrats in Wales at the moment. Life is tough, yes, but we have to go at it and really, really make a really good show for these Senate elections. Speaking to people, there is still a really good, strong tendency towards liberal values and liberal views. The Welsh people aren't firmly in Labour's pocket, and nor are they going totally to the Tories. So I think we can definitely carve back out our niche in the Welsh politics.
And Chloe, what's your kind of perceptions? Because it was interesting during the conference, which has just finished as we're recording this, I think there was a talk about some of how public perceptions of Lib Dems, and I think one of the biggest words they came up with was just don't know. For you, how do you then take that going forward? I think that we did have to try and reconnect with voters. Is it about effort? Is it just the fact that during coalition we got kind of scraped back almost to the barrel? Or is it about actually just reaffirming our principles?
So I think it's a mixture of all things. At the end of the day, we need to campaign. If we're not out there knocking on the doors, or maybe not quite knocking on doors at the moment, but delivering those leaflets, phoning voters, running campaigns, lobbying the council, championing the excellent work that our council groups are doing across Wales. If we're not doing that, we are in a really difficult position in Wales, but we need to fight for liberal values. And if we don't get out there and campaign for them, then no one else is going to. And so next May and May in 2022, when we have all up council elections across Wales, are absolutely critical for us, and we have to give it everything we've got, really.
So maybe it might be worthwhile, because, you know, I don't live in Wales, I'm not Welsh. Sometimes you can have a very English-centric view of politics. So what is the lay of the land? I mean, maybe Claire, you're the one to start off with where all the parties sit. Because again, at conference, we heard a lot about the rise of potentially nationalism within Wales as well. So actually, yeah, just for all our listeners and viewers, what is the current state of play with the parties in Wales?
So there is actually a rising nationalism here. It's not like the SNP at all, but it is a real sense of that people want something different than what Westminster is offering. And actually that's where we can actually also provide something maybe more nuanced in terms of our federalism. But like the Lib Dems that are in Scotland, that's what we're calling for, that actually it's not about breaking up the union, it's about making sure that power is put back into, you know, the hands of individuals. And we do have to, you know, watch that. They're not as strong, but they are getting stronger. And, you know, I think there is we all wonder what might happen next May. I think the view from England, and I have literally only moved about 10 days ago into just outside Cardiff, but actually my perception of being that things under COVID have been much better run here in Wales, in a large part due to the fabulous work that Kirsty's doing, but also, you know, Mark Drayford, who is the First Minister here, actually have been doing a fairly decent job compared to Boris. So whether Labour will see a bit of a increase in the polls, it will be quite interesting. Obviously, we saw in Brecon last year, not only the rise of the Brexit Party, but also obviously it went Tory again. And there are a lot more Tories here than you'd expect. So actually, you know, we have a real job there as well to make sure that people know that that is the party of the decisions that have been made by Boris Johnson. And do they want to be part of that form of conservatism here in Wales? But yeah, I think it's sort of, I didn't really realise how big the Yes group was. So it's a Yes for devolution here. And you know, that is a real risk here in Wales, that if Westminster isn't offering them a better politics, then where is there to turn? We need to make sure that people realise that that's to the Liberal Democrats and our views on federalism.
Mm-hmm. I suppose, and it kind of echoes what happened in Scotland, because you see these election reruns and you see some of them and you go, the SNP are delighted to have 8 seats. And then suddenly it went, you know, the referendum happened and suddenly there was a call, like you were just saying, Claire, there was a call for something else. But I'm curious to how do the Tories play it in Wales? I don't mind who answers it. I mean, it must be. I can't quite get, because the Tories in Scotland were very much, you know, we're the party of Ruth Davidson when she was their leader, rather than the party of Boris Johnson. How do the Tories deal with that in Wales?
I'd say the Welsh Conservatives are a lot closer to their to the UK or English party as a whole. We saw in the latest Welsh Barometer poll, with all of that polling, when talking about the leaders, Paul Davies is the new Tory leader in Wales is relatively unknown. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge challenge for them in carving out a distinctive identity separate to UK government.
I think it's worth saying as well that our media is actually much more London centric than in Scotland. So actually we have a short bulletin after the 6:30 news, like those in English regions. Mm-hmm. We have a Welsh state TV programme then. But actually the newspapers, etc., are full of what's happening in Westminster, not what's happening actually in Cardiff. Our both Ed as federal party leader, but actually as with Boris, he has, you know, it's his party here too.
The relationship between election results here in Wales and how we're doing, or how parties are perceived and how well they do across the border in England, there is a really interesting relationship there. In 2017, in that general election, Welsh Labour were able to cling on in a lot of ways due to their stronger Welsh identity and how well-known Carwyn Jones was. Mm. However, in the 2019 general election, Mark Drakeford really struggled to carve out that distinct identity for Welsh Labour, which probably, as well as kind of the general message of get Brexit done and the campaign that the Conservatives ran, didn't help them to hold on to those seats across North Wales. Mm.
So, Chloe and Joe, who are your opponents in your two seats that you are primarily against?
I'm facing the Tories. I've got Nick Ramsay is the constituency candidate for the Conservatives, and Monmouthshire is also a Conservative-run council, so I'm quite accustomed to Tory fighting.
So, I'm facing a Labour government minister in Swansea West. Labour also control the council here, and we are leading in opposition. However, on a regional level, it's a lot harder to kind of pick who you're fighting against because of the proportional nature of that list. But I'm really hoping that we can deny the woman who was elected as a UKIP candidate and is now sitting, I think, as a Brexit member of the Senate. Hopefully we can take that seat from them to kind of ensure that South Wales West has a Liberal voice again.
And I suppose that's, I mean, one of the problems we had, I think, post 2015 as a national party is this kind of, we were trying to do this equidistant thing, you know, when, you know, was it, you know, Tories with a heart, Labour with a head kind of equidistance. But how are you guys going to, what's your main campaign thrust to differentiate yourself from Labour and Tory? When you've got, we've just heard here, you've got one of you fighting Tories, one of you fighting Labour. Claire, how are you going to get that national message?
It's about having that Liberal voice and actually somebody who really cares about their community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are going back to that pavement politics of, you know, what so many of our councillors do excellently. We've got over 60 councillors in Wales who are doing fantastic jobs representing their local communities. And we need to make sure that people feel properly represented at the Senedd too. And there is actually a real feeling of disconnect with so many between who, you know, who are their members of the Senedd. And we've got a real, you know, especially when you've already had people that are Liberal Democrats elected in these areas, that actually people can remember having a decent member of the Senedd not that long ago. So we will be harking back to some of that, talking about Kirsty's achievements, but also outlining a really distinctive Liberal vision for how Wales can be better than it, you know, and that the people deserve better than they're getting currently.
Speaking about Kirsty, we had her on the podcast a few weeks ago, and she was brilliant. Everyone that meets Kirsty loves her, basically. But how does she cut across? Obviously, again, we think of the National Party and coalition there, where, you know, it was the whole thing, the Tories got all the credit, we got all the blame, kind of thing. How was Kirsty's role in government being perceived across Wales? Is it noticed particularly, or is it just thought of as a Labour government?
I'm rather concerned that she's actually thought of as just part of Welsh Labour, I'm afraid. The word Lib Dem doesn't get put up next to her very often. She's the education minister. And although she is very well known, and having campaigned in Brecon as well, she's exceptionally well loved by her constituents. My God, I couldn't go more than two or three doors without somebody singing her praises about how she has personally helped them in their in their community and in their life and made representation. So she's been an amazing, amazing representative for Brecon. But I'm a bit concerned that at the moment she's doing wonderful work, but we as Liberal Democrats aren't getting the benefits of that work.
I think incumbent on us to actually shout about more. And part of the reason for being on shows like this is to make sure that people know what we're up to in Wales and our real achievements here. Because actually there are so many people doing brilliant things and we're just not shouting about it loudly enough. So that's one of my jobs, to go away and make sure that people do recognise that Kirsty's achievements are because she's a Liberal Democrat, and I'm sure Chloe can tell me more on you know, what we said in our manifesto and how much of that was made a reality. But you know, I think Labour do not particularly want us to remind people that she's a Liberal Democrat, but doesn't mean that we shouldn't.
No, absolutely. And I think something that the pandemic has really brought to light is public understanding of devolution, and that we have the possibility to do things differently here. There was a bit of polling, I think, back in 2016 about the issues that people knew were devolved or not. And education and health were the highest, but they were still only around the 50% mark. We've had 20 years of devolution, and yet that widespread awareness of who has responsibility for what, it isn't always there. And it makes our politics weaker if people don't know who to hold accountable for decisions. But I do think that with the briefings and the different coronavirus legislation and responses to the pandemic, I think people are a lot more aware of it now. But as Claire says, we absolutely need to shout about Kirsty's achievements as a Liberal Democrat a lot more than maybe we have been doing.
And I think it's about going out there and being proud as well. You know, you don't win unless you believe you can win. And if you don't feel you've got anything to shout about, then you're not going to go out and do that hard yards, are you? But I wonder, Joe, going to you as some. So, Joe, I'm just coming. You have your county election next year as well?
No, county 22.
Okay, that's all right then. So I was really worried for you then for a second. So what kind of policies do you think the Lib Dems need to be talking about to win over in Wales?
Well, last year I did quite a lot of face-to-face with people. Obviously not this year. That's completely gone by the by. But last year, the key topic that the general public were talking to me about is the environment. I put forward a motion to Monmouthshire Council to declare a climate emergency over 12 months ago. We were the first county in Wales, in southeast Wales, to actually declare it in what's the old Gwent. And at the time, I was warned by my council officers that it wouldn't necessarily get through. And the MP for Monmouthshire is a bit of a climate sceptic as well. And I galvanised public support and I filled the council chamber with activists and we got it passed, slightly amended, but as a unanimous vote from the council. And the feeling that I've had from out and about in Monmouthshire and in wider areas of South Wales East as well is that people do care passionately about the environment. And when we had lockdown and nobody could drive their cars anymore and we were all kind of working from home, the air quality improved enormously, and we've got some real hot spots of really, really bad air pollution down here as well, where it's way, way over the acceptable limits. Mm-hmm. And to have clean air in those places was astonishing, and people really felt the benefits. So I personally think we should really go very heavily on our green manifesto as Liberal Democrats. We've always been very green as a party, and our amazing federal green paper last year is astonishing. It's full of so many great ideas. We really need to bang the drum that we are green and yet we are also sensible. So you can vote for us in terms of having a sensible green party to vote for. And that would be the one I would really be pushing as part of, and I will be pushing it as part of my agenda.
I've noticed, obviously, when I've done a little bit of research before this episode about how much, obviously, I was born and raised in a very rural community in Cumbria. Likewise, you seem to have a lot of things going on about safe Welsh farming, etc. Now, is that the pivot you've done from Brexit now? You're saying, look, because obviously Wales voted for Brexit, mm-hmm. You know, the Brexit party did very well. UKIP has had a certain level of support over the years in Wales. So is that pivot now saying, look at what it's going to do to Welsh farming? I mean, it took me 2 hours to get out of Brecon and Radnorshire during the by-election, you know, trying to get past all the things. So it's clearly, it must be a huge topic for you as well, the rural economy.
Absolutely. I think as well, I was obviously working on the Brecon by-election, and the thing that came over there was actually things were changing. So the NFU here in Wales were saying actually about cheap imports and the problems that would create for the economy here. But also, you know, really bringing it back to jobs. That's fundamentally what a lot of this is about. People here are really proud of their farming heritages, and it's not as many people are employed as they used to be, but actually the care over food here and the care over, you know, how our animals are looked after, etc., it will be absolutely devastating to the economy here and people's livelihoods, you know, potentially with the tariffs, etc. So it is about talking about the best possible deal, dare I say it. But we need to make sure that those jobs are still here. And on top of, you know, we've got a COVID recovery to worry about too. And I actually do think that's where the green things come back into their own. That actually, that can be part of our recovery here in Wales. There are so many opportunities for decent, well-paid green jobs. And apprenticeships to make sure that there is a better future for people here.
And Chloe, I think you're just coming to the end of your tenure as the chair of the Welsh Liberal Youth Okay. What are the issues?
Young liberals.
Young liberals. So that's showing you how old I am. Anyway, sorry.
You get fined.
Yes, we do have a fining system now. You're going to have to pay the Liberal Youth Tax, I'm afraid.
I donate to your campaign. Typical Lib Dems. What's the attitude towards like the young people and youth vote in Wales? Because again, from an English point of view, obviously Labour went hard for the youth vote with Jeremy Corbyn, and it didn't follow through for them at all, as the youth vote tends, unfortunately, not to. What are the young people in Wales wanting? I take it they're very pro-Remain, but what's their main grievance?
So we've got a really exciting opportunity in next May, because it's the first election for the Senate where 16 and 17-year-olds can vote. And so it's really fantastic to see that happening.
Have the political parties been actively trying to hunt that vote? I'm curious, because obviously I believe in votes at 16, but I mean, I'm also quite a hard-nosed campaigner. I know that the younger you are, the probably less like you are to vote. So how have the political parties been channeling that opportunity?
So really oddly, the electoral register yet doesn't have these individuals on, so we have to not identify them properly.
And we've still got, because we have all up council elections in 2022, there's a bit of legislation that Welsh Government is hoping to get through this year, which would make 16 and 17-year-olds eligible to vote at local election. But we're currently in a situation where they can vote in Senate elections, but if there's a council election on the same day, they wouldn't be able to vote in that.
They can't vote in Police and Crime Commissioner elections either, that are on the same day.
Yeah, so it's all a bit of a bizarre situation. We've had a lot of work with the Welsh Youth Parliament that's been re-established and is now properly funded. One of the first motions I saw at Welsh Conference when I first got involved was calling for sustainable funding for a Welsh Youth Parliament to make sure that young people have their voice in the Senedd and in Welsh politics. They've done some fantastic work on plastic bans and stuff around the environment. They've also been running campaigns on like bullying in school and cyberbullying and stuff like that. So those are some of the issues that are coming up. They've been doing some work around mental health as well. It's really fantastic to see with the reforms to the curriculum that Kirsty is bringing in, that we're introducing a whole school approach to mental health, making sure that our young people have those support services that they need, and that health and well-being is kind of put at the heart of the curriculum, as I'm sure Kirsty was talking about when she was on the podcast the other week.
I suppose we shouldn't assume that everyone knows how the Welsh elections are actually, how the elections are fought. So who wants to take that ticket on and explain how the format of the Welsh elections? Someone's got to volunteer.
I think by the silence I'm being nominated here.
How they work, it's fine.
The Welsh Parliament or Senedd has 60 members. There are 40 constituencies across Wales that currently sit at Westminster. Those same 40 constituencies are represented in the Welsh Parliament. But on top of that, Wales is split into 5 regions. So we've got North Wales, Mid and West Wales, South Wales West, which is my area, South Wales Central, and South Wales East, which is where Joe's standing. And 4 members are elected for each of the regions using the D'Hondt system. So when you go into vote, you have 2 ballots in front of you. You've got your standard first past the post one, and then you've also got a separate ballot for the list. And this is where the parties are listed. You get to vote for one party. You put your cross in the box. There's no preferential voting for it yet, unfortunately.
So it's the same as what you do in the Euro elections for the MEPs.
Yeah, so it's the same. And so you've then got all the formula and the maths of the total number of members elected for each party plus one. And so the total number of votes is divided by that.
So this is why, even though...
The regional list is supposed to balance it out and provide that proportional element to the Senate.
So does that change, Claire, how you go about your organisation in terms of campaigning, get the most out of that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm speaking to my Scottish colleagues as well about how they're planning their elections next time. There are real opportunities in those regional lists to make some great gains. And we desperately need to get, obviously, Kirsty back, who's a constituency candidate. But a lot of our focus will be making sure that we do well in those regional list systems. And that will definitely help going into 2022 when we have our local elections, because actually those are the building blocks to make us successful in our regions, where we've got a councillor base. Actually, we need to make sure that we're maximising the Lib Dem votes there to get us over the line across the whole of a region. So it's quite interesting electoral math. A couple of our candidates are brilliant councillors as well. So we expect them to do quite well where they are. Rodney is a councillor in Cardiff. For those of you that watched Mike German's brilliant fundraising ask yesterday, we'll know about the great work that Rodney's doing. And he's a councillor there. And it's, you know, it's interesting. He's on both pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting what happens in terms of his constituency vote and his regional vote. Mm-hmm. So, but the regional vote is definitely where we think we can make some gains. It's just such large geographical spreads.
So can I ask, I see a lot in my area because I'm not in a target area whatsoever in where I am in Preston, mm-hmm. in Lancashire. So obviously there's a huge difference between what we get locally and what we get nationally. So in 2019, the local elections, I got re-elected with about 60% of the vote, 58%. When the general election came up, the same box counts dropped down to maybe 17% because we weren't in that game. How does a difference happen with the regions? Does the region follow more closely with national swings or with a more localised swing? How does that sit within Wales?
I think it's really difficult. The voting system, despite it being used since 1999, still isn't hugely understood. In my own region, Labour have won every single constituency for the Welsh Parliament since 1999, yet they still have a massive vote on the regional list, despite their vote is divided by 8. They're not going to win the regional list, yet the phenomena of voting for the same party twice on your constituency and your vote is, and on the region, is still very prominent. And so there's definitely work to be done around getting that tactical argument through in places and encouraging people to maybe split their votes in some cases, preferably vote Lib Dem twice, but in a lot of cases, there's huge potential on splitting your vote.
And Joe, how are you seeing that down where you are? How are you approaching your campaign?
Well, I've only just got started because I was only selected this summer, so I've just putting my team together at the moment as it happens, and we've started to talk about that sort of messaging and literally trying to come up with some rough drafts of some leaflets that we might be able to put out to just try and explain it better to people, that if they really want. So the area where I'm a councillor, the ward I'm in, is not one that can vote for my name on a ballot paper as well. Yeah. They have to vote for me on a regional list. So the area I'm best known and the one that they know I really do the hard work isn't going to be able to tick a box saying Joe Watkins. So we have to educate those people that the Liberal Democrat one is the one they need to vote for that one, if they actually want to vote for me as a person. I also don't think we should actually underestimate personality politics as well. I mean, it's what gets Kirsty, one of her greatest selling points. Mm-hmm. And we really need to build the candidates' brands so that actually the people do start to build that confidence. We need to be thinking in longer term election cycles. I'm a wholehearted believer in Paddy Ashdown's 3-election cycle plan. So we really need to keep on building up. Every single election has got to give us more and more stake ready for the next set of elections. And that's the really way that we've got to do that. Educating the public about the voting system is something Liberal Democrats would love to do, because we all love a good little bit of geeky.
I mean, preferably they'll change it for next time, so it's single transferable vote. Like, that's the goal.
But I'm less optimistic that we're going to educate the public that easily, and I think we best need to try and sell ourselves as best as possible so that people just want to vote Liberal Democrat.
It is all about generating that positive vote for the Liberal Democrats across Wales. Every region's electoral maths is different, and so it's not as simple to have a coordinated message. So the best thing we can do is set out that positive case for why you should vote Liberal Democrat at this election in both your constituency and your region, and in elections in the future in 2022 and beyond.
And that ties in perfectly with the next question I was going to ask Claire, was to do with what, as chief exec now, I mean, me and you, you were on my county campaign. You were helping me get elected in 2017, Claire. And it's the same thing. It's about manpower. It's money, manpower and data wins your elections. So what is your focus as a chief exec? Obviously, because we will try as hard as we can to get out a national message. We all, as in across Wales, but we know that the media is probably not going to give us much attention. We have a brilliant education minister, which you said, and Kirsty doesn't get much attention. So is your goal to rally the troops and get those troops ready, so at these elections and at the locals after that, that we have an army of volunteers that can go out and win?
Absolutely. I my pitch for the job was all about capacity building, and actually it's about making sure that people have the skills on the ground to deliver the campaign that we need them to win. So it's no different than any other campaign in that sense. It's just that it's in a broader area, geographical area for so many of us. And you know, already the team have pulled together 20 training sessions between now and Christmas to help teams and ensure that they know, you know, what's expected of our leaders in each area, but also to help them on the way. And that's one useful thing that we can do whilst we're obviously you'll know that some of us are in regional lockdowns, and actually this has proved a useful thing that we can all do, is actually upskill ourselves. And some of that's about talking to our membership as well. I don't, like you started the conversation, you know, 2019 was a hard year for Welsh Liberal Democrats, and it was for so many Liberal Democrats. But with the team has massively increased in terms of staffing here in Wales, and you know, that's got to show that we mean business. So yeah, a lot of my job is making sure that we have people on the ground that are trained and ready to go, and it's not all going to happen immediately, but actually some teams are already doing some great recruitment work, making sure that people know that we are the team that will get stuff done for them. Mm-hmm. And actually even in these COVID times, that actually that's possible. So a lot of the focus at the moment is on capacity building here in Wales.
And here's this is one for Chloe and Joe. Okay. And I mean, just assume Claire's not here. Assume Claire. What do you want from the chief exec and HQ in terms of your campaigns? What is the best thing they could do for you as candidates?
Money.
There you go.
Yes, obviously money always helps with earning any political campaign. Fundraising training, and I know we're still trying to get a fundraising officer built in, so that is actually really useful, because it's not a skill many of us have naturally. Asking people for money to run political campaigns is actually quite challenging for most of us, so it's not an area I feel comfortable with yet as a candidate.
And during COVID, because we can't knock on doors, we have to spend more getting out leaflets. So actually having money, and if people, I'm just going to do a little plug here. We've had an episode on campaigning without canvassing where we talk about the importance of fundraising. So do go check that out on our on our podcast history. But carry on, Joe. What would you need from HQ?
Well, to be fair, I have had so many offers of training thrown at me recently that my diary is filling up with, I'm thinking, can't train on anything else. I've got to actually spend some time campaigning here. So I really, no, but it's really important. The facilitating us, building our base. I'm not the only fairly new member. I mean, 2015 is still a fairly new one. I've got loads of really new members in my area and I need to upskill them because we need to upskill people for the future. So we've really got to get people going out there, able to learn how to use Connect, the mysteries of Nation Builder. We've got new Lighthouse as well. Oh my God, is it all changing all the time? So there's so many things that people do need to learn. And yeah, so getting those volunteers trained up and finding things for them to do as well. Because obviously we can't just have a lovely group canvassing session out and get to know each other and then all go down the pub. Which would be lovely to do that, but it's not possible. So we're having to also learn everything through Zoom as well, which is...
I suppose it's keeping those people engaged. Like you say, apathy is the worst thing for volunteers because they just drift off. And one thing that I think I'm sure Claire would say is actually get out there. You've got virtual meetings now. Use Zoom. Do policy meetings. Do something just to get your activists occupied. Because it is, you know, it's a very tough time during COVID and you can feel like you're on your own. Chloe, what about you? What are the key things for you?
I mean, I think Joe's hit on the head. It's a really exciting time to be active in the Welsh Party. I wouldn't understate the difference that having this new staff team is making. The amount of training on offer is absolutely sensational and they've done a great job pulling it together. It's always said that Liberal Democrats have policy coming out of their ears. Well, in the Welsh Party at the moment, we seem to have training coming out of our ears. It's absolutely fantastic. But no, it's raising the money is going to be a big challenge. It's hard enough anyway. And we're entering a really difficult time as well, where people might find it harder to donate, but making sure that everyone's got the opportunity to engage in a way that they are interested in doing so and feel able to, whether that is joining us on a Zoom call to do some phone canvassing as a group or joining us for a delivery session or doing some more behind the scenes stuff. Like, there is a role for everyone to get involved. And yeah, we just need to kind of shout about all these opportunities for people and work out what's stopping them and how we can get more people involved, because there's so much talent across the Welsh Party. It's a real shame that we don't always hear from them more.
Yeah. I'll do a quick plug before Chief Exec comes in. Is that if you want to donate to the Welsh Party, wherever you are in the United Kingdom, you can go to the Welsh Lib Dems website at welshlibdems.wales. There's a donation tab on there. Please do give everything you can. That sounds a bit hard. Anything you can. If you give everything, that might be overly generous. But it really does. You know, lots of little donations really help. And like I say, these are really crucial elections. Claire, now imagine that Chloe and Joe aren't in the room. What do you expect from candidates? I mean you're the first chief exec we've had on the podcast.
Oh, great, okay.
Yeah, so this isn't a test. But it must be very quite hard, because a lot of Lib Dems give a lot of time. Don't, you know, if you're wanting money and power, being a Lib Dem, it probably isn't the way you would naturally go about it. So what kind of approach do you take with people? Is it a combination of carrot and stick?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I haven't brought the stick out yet. It's too early. And that's not, as many of you know, isn't my leadership style either. I think the reality is that I have other than having, I've never been a Senate candidate, obviously, or a parliamentary candidate. Actually, I've been in the position where I have been a candidate myself. And I know the resilience that that requires. I know that the impact that that can have on your personal life. And I think a level of empathy coming from the chief executive isn't a terrible thing, you know, to have. And I'm really, really lucky with the candidates that we've already got in place, how open they have been to our calls, and making sure that, you know, as much as my doors can always be open at the moment, my doors are always open. So it's about two-way communication. There's more of them than there are of me. They know what's actually happening on the ground more than I do. They're hopefully going to knock on a lot more doors than I am and make a lot more of those important phone calls. So it's about having that two-way dialogue to keep me in the loop on how it feels on the ground. I can look at numbers all day, but one thing I've learned over the years is actually to trust your gut a little bit. And if it doesn't feel right, actually, sometimes that means that it isn't right. So I think I have to be listening, and I really hope that the candidates know that I'm there to do that role for them. But in terms of what I expect of them, it's leadership. It's making sure that they are seen as local leaders for their teams, and make sure that they know what the plan is, as much as there are, you know, as much as there can be one that we absolutely stick to strictly, but they know the direction of travel, and that actually we're there to support them on that journey, because it is a journey. Again, as we started out, we've got one member of the Senate. We want to build that. And if we're going to build from one, that means there's going to be hopefully a lot of new people elected in the Senate who've never done it before. So actually, as a staffing team, it's our role to make sure that they feel properly supported as part of that journey.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling quite enthused, actually. You know, I'm feeling
quite...
Go out
and make some phone calls, John.
The Scottish Lib Dems have said the same thing as well, I tell you. I'm up next year as well, honestly.
Anyone that wants a phone bank, I will get you a code.
Okay, I'll tell you what, this is an absolute promise. Get me a phone bank, I will make some calls for you. I promise to do that. I think just thank you very much for coming on the pod. I want just each of you to give us just your final inspirational words to Lib Dems in Wales listening to the pod, and we know we have quite a few. What's your message to them to keep going? I'll start with you, Chloe, actually.
I think we all know it's been really difficult. It's been really difficult since 2016, and there's no use pretending that it hasn't, but things are looking up. We do have huge opportunities ahead. We can elect more members to the Senate to join Kirsty in a team. And beyond that, we can get even more of you elected to council and really start rebuilding and turn our fortunes around. We had a fantastic result for the Welsh Party with the European election as well. So it's not all doom and gloom. Yes, we haven't quite made it over the line, but we've come damn close, and we should look for those wins where we've had them. We're moving in the right direction, and we will be winning again.
Joe, what about you?
I'd like to say to any Welsh Liberal Democrat watching, we need to aim high. We shouldn't just be trying to catch up with England. We have to aim for what we can truly achieve and how we can really make Wales a better place to live. A true liberal vision for Wales is what we should be aiming for. And we're going to aim there, and we're going to work our socks off for it, but we are going to get it. We are going to improve the state of Welsh politics by doing this. So let's work together in a common goal.
Brilliant. That's amazing. And Claire, final word from yourself.
Get involved. There are so many ways that you can get involved at the moment, whether it is through a training session, on the Facebook discussion groups that are happening all the time, or equally turning up to one of our many phone banks. There's lots we can do in lockdown, and I think some more counties are going into lockdown at the end of the week. So don't put that off doing something for your region. There's some amazing candidates that are standing for the Senedd, and it's really important that they know that we're all here to support them. So get involved, get in touch, and let's go and win some stuff.
There you go. Well, all I can do is thank you. Thank you, Chloe. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Joe. It's been a fantastic episode. So all listeners and viewers out there, do go follow the Welsh Lib Dems. Like I say, do go to the website if you can donate some. Get active. We are the masters of our own fate. We can make that difference. We can actually change something, both in the Senedd, in the local elections. Get involved. I got involved over a decade ago in the Lib Dems, and I've not looked back since. And it's not just phone banks, there's all sorts of stuff you can do. So thank you so much to these guys to be on. It's been a wonderful podcast. Best of luck to all of you, and no doubt you'll be on the podcast again, hopefully, open invitation. Thank you so much to everyone who listens. You can follow everything to do with the Lib Dem podcast at Lib Dem Pod. You can follow myself at John Potter LD. Do subscribe to the channel, do like us and rate us and share us to your friends, because the more people that listen, the better. Thank you very much for listening this time, and we'll have another episode very soon.